Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, in this morning hour, we assemble ourselves round about thy word, here in thy house, in thy sanctuary, asking that thy spirit would be here and in our presence, in our hearts, in our minds, as we consider this thy word. Father, help us to be glad in this day, Lord, that as was written long ago, Father, that we were glad when they said unto us, let us go into the house of the Lord. And so help us to set our attitude and our minds aright, Lord, that we might be glad in thee as we consider this thy word. For we pray this and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. For this morning's reading, let's turn to the Gospel according to St. Luke. Read from chapter number 16, beginning with verse number 19. Luke 16, beginning with verse number 19.
Ljubezni čitaći se iz Svetog Evanđelja po Luci, 16. glava od 19. broja dalje.
There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. It's a blessed opportunity that we as God's children have as we gather together and hear God's precious word of life. We're thankful for this opportunity. It's truly a privilege. And often we do it, and sometimes we get into the mindset that this is simply just routine. But may it be our prayer this morning that throughout this day we would set our hearts aright, that we would be willing recipients of what God would have for us, that we would hear what his teachings would be to us, that we would understand his will for our lives, and that we would yield ourselves to what he would have for us. We read this morning of a passage of Scripture where it was exclusively the words of Jesus Christ. And he brought forth this message, and he brought forth this teaching that we would come to understand it, and that we would know it, that we would apply it to our lives, that this word would give us that wisdom, that we would know that when we're taking heed and being obedient to the teachings of Jesus, its spirit and its life. Jesus said in another place, that it is the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. This rich man came to know that the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, the words of Jesus, they are spirit and they are life. And so we're here this morning. We're here to hear the words of Jesus Christ, knowing that they are spirit, that the words of Jesus, they are life, and that the flesh profits nothing. Ultimately, this flesh, it just decays and it goes back to dust from which it came. But the spirit, the words of Jesus Christ, they are spirit and they are life. The psalmist of old said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." And so it teaches us in which way to go. And so we read here this morning of what Jesus would have us to know and how we might receive that spirit and that we might be made alive, that we would be quickened, that we would be reminded anew of what Jesus would have for us. And that would be life and more abundantly through him. There are truths here in this passage of Scripture that Jesus taught that we ought to take heed to, and they're relevant and meaningful to our lives here today. The psalmist has written that I'm not in Psalms. Trust not in oppression, become not vain in robbery. And then he says, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. If riches increased, set not your heart upon them. And here Jesus is giving this very prevalent teaching of riches and what that what the trappings of that would be. Back in the Middle Ages, there was a system that was called the feudal system. If you were a worker of the land, you were always going to be a worker of the land. That was happening from generation to generation to generation. You were a serf, you worked the land, that's what it was going to be under this feudal system. If you were a landowner, you were going to remain a landowner. That land would be passed on to you and to the next generation, to the next generation. There was that system where the rich were going to remain rich and the poor were going to remain poor. There was no getting out of that. We live in a different society today. Completely different society today. We live in a society that is very wealthy. We live in an economy that's very strong. We have opportunities to increase our riches significantly. We have riches today that, overall on an average, that's much greater than what 3-4 generations ago could ever imagine. We live a life that is very different than certainly from the Middle Ages and even from generations ago. And so our society, what we are dealing with today, is different than even a generation ago. A generation ago, they were dealing with communism. Most of our forefathers were dealing with communism and having to go to jail for not swearing the oath or for taking up arms. We don't live in that society anymore. We live in a society today where an economy is very strong, and we have the opportunity, and there are plenty of opportunities, to increase in our riches in that which we could obtain to. But the psalmist of old said, if riches increased, set not your heart upon them. Again, the words of Jesus bringing life, giving us knowledge, and that we can understand God's ways and apply ourselves to what God would have us to know. And so today, perhaps this morning, it'll be a message that's, I'm hoping, meaningful and relevant to us in this day that we live in. There are dangers in riches. The scriptures clearly teach that. There are dangers in obtaining great wealth. The Bible says in Timothy that they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. That is a truth that is played out over and over throughout all time, that the love of money is the root of all evil. And those that would be rich would fall into temptation, a temptation to lead a selfish life, a temptation to live as this rich man did in this teaching that Jesus had this morning, to fare sumptuously, to live in luxury and not have a concern for others at all, but to think of ourselves and ourselves exclusively. The Bible teaches us that we are to be fruitful, that we are to bear fruit, that we are to abide in the vine and we are to bear fruit. But the Bible also teaches that if the word, the seed, falls into a stony heart, or the thorns can choke it, and those thorns would be the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. So again, there are many dangers that the Scripture teaches us of the dangers of the riches of this world. And so the deceitfulness of riches can choke out the word, that we would not become fruitful. That's a danger that we, as God's children, need to be aware of. That deceitfulness of riches can choke out being fruitful for the Lord. The Bible teaches many things here in the Gospels that we are not to trust in riches. That should not be a part of our lives as at all. That our trust and our faith is continuously in the Lord and in the Lord only, and that we are not to trust in uncertain riches. Also, the Bible also teaches us here in the same gospel about the man that had the rich man whose land brought forth plentifully, and he had much, and he wanted to lead a life of ease, and so he would tear down his old barns, build greater, and then he was going to focus on having a long life of leisure. And But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose shall be those things which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This is the teaching here. Jesus is saying, is that so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. That's what this rich man was, his downfall here in the reading that we had this morning. Was he laid up riches for himself, and he didn't bother to even consider Lazarus, who was laying at his gate. He was rich. He laid up treasure for himself, had no mercy for others, and was not rich toward God. But God is calling us to something higher. God is asking us to use the gifts that God has given unto us, be that money, be that riches, use it for his honor and glory, use it to fruitfulness and to further his kingdom. And then we can be rich toward God, rich in his ways, that we would understand that all things belong to God. He gave us everything that we have. There's nothing that we can give to God. He's given us everything that we have. And so these gifts that he's given unto us, we are to be wise stewards of that. And that we are to labor in his kingdom, that we are to further his kingdom, that we are to glorify him by the gifts that he has given unto us. And so that's how we can be rich toward God. And God will bless us. Let's remember, he who owns all things is willing to give unto us his gifts. But we are to be good stewards of that which he has given unto us. These are the dangers of riches, is that we hoard it to ourselves and we lead selfish lives. And we cannot bear fruit to God's honor and glory if we do that. That's the dangers of riches. And we see that clearly throughout Scripture. The reality also is that we brought nothing into this world, the Bible says, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. That's a reality. So if we keep that focus, that truth in our hearts and in our minds too, through the teachings of Jesus Christ, which are spirit and which give life, then we will realize that we are simply to labor in his kingdom, to do what he would have us to do, and knowing that we won't take anything that we accumulate in this life. We will not be blessed, have a blessed life by that which we have accumulated, but we will have a blessed life by that which we have given away. That's how the blessings of the Lord come forth. To be rich of itself is not sin. The Bible teaches that as well. Abraham was rich, but he was a friend of God. Job was rich, but the Bible says that he was perfect, that he was upright, and that he feared God. Joseph of Arimathea was rich, the Bible says, but he was a disciple of Jesus Christ. And there are other examples too. Solomon was another one that was rich. So to be rich of itself is not sin, but not to put our trust in riches, but to use that which God has given unto us, the gifts and of perhaps even riches, use it to his honor and to his glory. As these examples in the Bible have done, Abraham, Job, and Solomon, and Joseph of Arimathea. And so, let's consider these scriptures, these verses that we've read together, go through them, and see what other teachings we can see of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, these teachings, which give life, which are spirit. The flesh profiteth nothing, but the spirit, the words of Jesus Christ, they are spirit and they are life. And so if there's any hardness of heart, a partial hardness of heart this morning, that God would give us the grace to simply soften our hearts and to accept these words of Jesus as they would give life to each and every one of us. So Jesus is teaching here, and I believe this is the only reference to this teaching in the Gospels here in Luke. It says that there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He lived in luxury. He had everything that he had needed of and lived by every extreme of luxury. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. A complete difference of two individuals. One living in extreme luxury, one living in great poverty, great distress. And we see here from these few words that the Lazarus was simply just looking for some crumbs to fall off the table, but the rich man didn't have even enough mercy to even allow crumbs for Lazarus. And so a sad predicament that this rich man lived exclusively for himself and had no concern for any others. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. This was the fate. This is what transpired after the inevitable happens, and that is death. And so the man who was rich or thought he was rich, he cries and says, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." And so here's this rich man. He's continuing to live or to be as he was when he was alive, that he thought of himself and of himself exclusively. He was asking that Lazarus would cool his tongue. He was again simply thinking of himself. And as the dangers of riches are, is that we might think of ourselves and ourselves only. And so he was asking that that Lazarus would come and cool the tongue of this man. And he says that he's in torment, and it is a place of torment. So here was this gulf that separated those that were on the torment side versus those that were loved and cared and consoled. This torment, a physical or a mental suffering, and it goes on and on and on. And Abraham responds to him and says, "Son, remember thou that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented." There was now this reversal. It was now going to be different. The man who was selfish now was in torment. And Lazarus, who suffered so much, was now being comforted. And Abraham continues and says, "And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, a great divide, a great separation, so that they that would pass from here to you cannot, or those that would pass from there to us cannot." There was this separation that was clear, that was evident, and that was not going to be able to be bridged. And so it is that there is that separation, and the Bible teaches of that separation over and over, and we know what that separation is. And I want to just simply read a verse that speaks to what that separation is, what it is that places an individual on the torment side of the gulf versus the side of light and comfort of the gulf, where. Where the Lord is saying, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." It's our iniquities and our sins that separate us, that place us on the side of torment of the gulf. That truth is reiterated over and over throughout scriptures, that it's sin that separates us from God. That's what separates us. That's what sets a sinner to be on the torment side of the gulf. It's our sin and our iniquity. That's what sets us on the side of torment in hell. I'd like to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6, where the Bible is teaching us that charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, which giveth us richly all things to enjoy. This is the truth of God, and that he's teaching us as well, that those who God has given the gift of riches, that they would not be high-minded, that they would not think of themselves as better than others, nor trust in those riches. The Bible also says that riches make themselves wings and they fly away. We cannot trust in riches. Everything in this life is transient. It comes and it goes. But not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, which richly giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Our riches are in the Lord. We find that to be true over and over. We can have joy in the Lord that no man can take away. If we have joy in riches, some man can take that away. God is good and God is faithful, and he gives us richly all things to enjoy when we place our trust in him, when our joy comes in the Lord. So this dialogue is going back and forth between the man who thought he was rich and Abraham. So Abraham tells him, we can't go to you and you can't come to us. There's a big separation there. The separation is because of your sin. And so the man responds back and he says, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment, this place of suffering, this place of great, great difficulty. I don't want them to come here. Send Lazarus to my father's house. But Abraham says to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. We have the word of God. It's here before us every Sunday, every Wednesday night, and it's in our homes. It's on our devices. We have the word of God, and it teaches us the way of life. And we can grow into this richness of a relationship with the Lord, which is far surpasses any net worth any individual can obtain to. The riches of the Lord. We have it. We have it here. And that's what Jesus here is teaching. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. We have the word of God. Let's hear this word of God. There's nothing greater than this word of God to give us life and to give us the understanding and the knowledge of God's ways. And so the man responds and says, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Not so. Not so. Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, he was risen from the dead, and the Jews didn't believe in Jesus. They didn't repent. And so Abraham responds to this man and says, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. How true that is. How true that is. Do we look for miracles? Do we look for something greater than the word of God? Or is the word of God completely sufficient in that of itself? The words of Jesus Christ, are they spirit and are they life to us? Or do we need something more? What's our faith in? The flesh profiteth nothing. This man who thought he was rich came to understand that the flesh profiteth nothing. Earlier this week, I came across some verses that led me to this scripture that we read this morning. It's in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. I'd like to read these verses. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. All men can hear the word of God. All men. In all places, it's translated perhaps almost in every language. It's this grace of God that brings salvation, and it appeared to all men. This grace of God, what does it do? It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, these things that riches can bring us to, ungodliness and worldly lusts, a selfish living. This is what the grace of God is doing. It's teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live in three ways: soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So whether we have amassed a certain amount of net worth or whether we have not, we can still live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And when we do, it will be as it was for Lazarus, that we will be carried into Abraham's bosom on the right side of the gulf, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking for. We're not looking to be able to hit that next number, that next number of a net worth. But we're looking for the appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's where our hope is. That's what we're looking for. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. God sent Jesus that he would redeem us from all iniquity, that we would not have to be on that side of the gulf where there's torment, to redeem us from that iniquity, that gulf is iniquity that separates us from God. And so he's saying he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works, that we would be faithful in that which the Lord has given unto us, that we would produce fruit for him, that we would further his kingdom, that we would be zealous of these good works, being attached to the vine, that not of ourselves, but being attached to the vine, that we would be zealous of good works, that money could be a great tool to the furtherance of God's kingdom, that we would use it to his honor and to his glory. Money is an elder said this once many, many years ago. He said that money is a terrible master, but a great servant. If we're a slave to money, we will end up on the wrong side of the gulf. But if we use money, riches, to the glory of God, in furthering his kingdom, in making a difference for others, in showing mercy that the rich man didn't show, we will be a peculiar people. And so the Bible says here that these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. These are the truths of Jesus. There's dangers in riches. There's dangers in that. We live in a society that's becoming very, very wealthy. There's dangers there. But if we live lives as a peculiar people to do what God would have us to do, that we can be very effective for the Lord. I'd like to close with a verse in James where it says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." It's sin that separates us. It's sin that sets us on the torment side of the gulf. If we know to do good, if we know that God has blessed us and has given unto us a certain amount of riches, we are to do good with that. We are to do good with that. And if we do good with that, God will bless us in eternity. He will bless our souls that we would live on forever. But if we don't, it's sin to us. So may God grant unto us that in the day that we live in, that this message would be meaningful, that it would be relevant, that we would use the gifts that God has given unto us to his honor and to his glory, furthering his kingdom because he is so worthy. Amen.
Find it interesting at the end of this chapter, the rich man asked Abraham, "Send Lazarus to my father's house, that they won't have to come to this place of torment." And Abraham said to him, "Well, they have Moses and the prophets, let him hear them." But he said, "No, if you send one from the dead, they will repent." We have one that was from the dead. That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the words that we read today are his words. And we still don't have some people that will not repent. He was begging that he would send him, that he would not go to this place of torment. And he wouldn't hear it. So he said, "No. Even if you send one from the dead, they will not hear." And that's what we have today. Let us hear what the Lord that rose from the dead has to say about this place of torment and how we can avoid it. Amen.